Let's find out what's been making news this week with Edwina Farley. Another week, another plant closure.
It's horrendous, the food processing and manufacturing business at the moment. Well, it has been for the last few years, really. But this week, vegetable processor Simplot Australia says two of its plants are likely to close. Director Terry O'Brien says the factories at Bathurst in New South Wales and Devonport in Tasmania simply aren't generating enough profit. Now, the Devonport plant employs 160 full-time staff and sustains most of Tasmania's processing vegetable growers. Mr. O'Brien says he'll try to keep the operations open, but the Bathurst plant might close as early as next year.
And essentially it revolves around the fact that the vegetable business in Australia has been a chronic underperformer from a profit perspective for a long, long time. And the way the market's running at the moment and our reading of the prospects of the market for quite some time to come suggests that it's not going to get better. If anything, it's going to get worse.
It's just terrible, isn't it? What do vegetable growers say?
Well, it's ironic. They're kind of pointing to the National Food Plan, which was just released a couple of weeks ago by the Federal Agriculture Minister. They're saying that now comes too late to save Australia's food processors from shutting down. Andrew White from the grower group AusVeg says Australian food growers and processors are really struggling to compete and survive.
The National Food Plan that was released by the federal government outlines a range of ambitious goals for the Australian food production industry by 2025, but 2025 isn't going to cut it. We need to do something now. We need to start taking actions now, and really we do call on the federal government sincerely to urgently reevaluate the whole sector.
Well, they've been doing that with SBC, urging the government to bring in some sort of temporary tariff. Are there similar suggestions here?
There are, and look, the last thing, even Terry O'Brien from Simplot said, we don't want bailout packages. We don't want to go down the path of the car industry. Andrew Craigie from the Tasmanian Farmers and Graziers Association says all these sort of offers of subsidies are meaningless. He says it's like putting band-aids on a festering sore. He thinks federal import legislation should be changed to stop cheap imported vegetables flooding in.
Just what it may need is a temporary quota put in until the Australian dollar adjusts back to where it should be, or we become more in tune with working in that sort of environment.
Coles is at it again. This time it was sort of all over before it really began.
It was a curious week, largely played out via social media, bizarrely, but Animals Australia partnered with Coles to sell a particular type of shopping bag which promoted getting rid of factory farming. Now, of course, this led to uproar in farming circles for Coles to align itself with what the farming circles say is an organisation that promotes being meat-free. And as a result, the shopping bags were withdrawn. Now, Animals Australia said that's the result of a vicious campaign by the National Farmers Federation, and it's very unhappy about the turn of events. Lisa Chalk from that organisation says a television campaign starting next week will replace the bags, which have now been pulled from Coles supermarkets.
This has actually only increased our determination to provide those animals with representation. We aren't taking a backward step. We're simply changing direction and changing tack. And that's why we're putting a national television advertising campaign to air this week that will show consumers what the National Farmers Federation has fought so hard to hide, and that is what happens to animals in these production systems.
Well, it's hardly surprising farmers would be horrified by the campaign. Coles says it didn't push Animals Australia?
No, Robert Hadler from Coles says there was no pressure put on Animals Australia to withdraw the bags.
Animals Australia called Coles and suggested the approach, and we believe that that was the right thing to do, because clearly the debate about the ban on live cattle exports had overshadowed the good work that Coles and its farmer suppliers were doing on the sow stall free pork and to take out eggs from caged chickens.
Speaking of flying pigs, there are also pig brothers, pigs yeah. being filmed.
Well, yes, it was a fairly shocking discovery for the owners of a piggery at Young in New South Wales, who are now considering legal action against whoever placed hidden cameras in their pig sheds. The cameras were accidentally discovered under a Hessian bag in a false roof by a worker at Blantyre Farms. Part owner Edwina Beveridge believes the cameras are the work of animal activists trying to film pigs being mistreated.
Oh, we were mortified, you know, just so rattled to think that someone's been into our place, onto our farm, you know, putting in hidden cameras. It just makes you feel sick in the stomach. And I think our staff, some of our staff, I think, were probably more rattled than I was. Just an awful violation, really.
Now, this was a bolt from the blue. Victoria is the first state to sign up to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan.
Yes, it seems Premier Dennis Napthine is very keen to start ticking off some items on his to-do list. He's now secured his state's responsibilities for the plan's implementation. Essentially, it means that Victoria will receive $14 million over 3 years to develop projects to offset the volume of water needed to be recovered from irrigators and returned to the environment. Now, the Commonwealth is still waiting for New South Wales, South Australia and Queensland and the ACT to actually sign up to this Intergovernmental Agreement, or IGA. Victorian Water Minister Peter Walsh says no more water will be bought by the federal government from Victoria until 2016.
I'm not sure where the other states are up to. From Victoria's point of view, we've been negotiating for what we want from a Victorian point of view, and when we've achieved that, we've been prepared to sign up. We did that with the plan. We've now done that with the IGA.
Now, we've heard about fracking and coal seam gas. There's also something known as shale gas.
And apparently, Australia is sitting on a vast resource of it, but better regulation and lower infrastructure costs are going to be needed if we're going to develop a large-scale industry. Shale gas actually requires, it exists deeper than coal seam gas, and it usually requires fracking techniques to extract it. Of course, it provides one-third of the gas supply in the United States, and it is highly controversial there because of specific fracking methods. Australia has only one commercial well so far. Dr. Peter Cook from the Australian Council of Learned Academies says its report shows the industry must still overcome many hurdles.
Whilst the title is gold mine or environmental disaster, it's not going to be either of those. It will require great skill, persistence, capital and careful management of any impacts, transparent and effective regulations. Provided we have all these things in place and the right rocks, shale gas could be an important new energy option for Australia.
He does speak as if he would come from the Australian Council of Learned Academics.
I like as long as we have the right rocks. That's right.
Now, dairy farmers have been complaining for a couple of years that the price they receive for milk is below the cost of production. They've had a bit of a boost.
They have, but they're still not happy. Australia's largest milk processor, Murray Goulburn, announced its highest ever opening price this week, but farmers are sort of saying, look, that's great, but it's still not enough. It's opening at about 42 cents per litre. Murray Goulburn's Robert Poole says a lot of farmers really just need the cash now.
It's been a very tough year. Opening has been brought forward by us because we've seen a lot of farmers in the last few months. There's no doubt that they wanted us to bring the announcement forward and make it a good one.
And this next story is one of those, I did not know that, about seaweed.
Do you like seaweed? I love seaweed.
I do.
It's delicious. Well, Victorian researchers are now investigating the potential to eat native Australian seaweed. Apparently, we have the most diverse range of seaweeds in the world. And, of course, it's very good for you. It's high in antioxidants and omega-3 fats and is a source of protein. Deakin University researcher Dr. Alicia Belgrove wants to know what Australian seaweeds taste the best.
When I was in Korea, in the supermarket, there's a whole kind of display of all these different seaweed chips, and they're basically using different kinds of seaweeds, frying them and, you know, coating them in different sorts of spices, and they're really fantastic beer snacks. But they're much better for you than your typical chips because they don't actually absorb the oil like a potato does.
Now, this next one really has to be seen to be believed, and I think it's no wonder people think there are pumas in Australia, the biggest cats I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is staggering. You have to check out the pictures online. The feral cat population across Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory has literally just gone crazy. Traditional owners have noticed a steep decline in local birds and other wildlife. The Waterkin Ranger Group has taken pictures of huge cats to try to leverage some federal money to monitor and kill them. Research manager Georgia Valance says the cats often exceed a metre in length, and the amount of wildlife they eat is staggering.
One that was culled last year, for example, had the remains of two sugar gliders. It had, I believe, a velvet gecko, a bird of some sort, as well as some insects in there. So, I mean, that's one cat, one day.
Ugh.
I know. You'd be needing a cow-sized bell for those ones, wouldn't you?
Yes. Here it comes. You think they get little things because you think that'd be cumbersome, but I suppose they're...
It's a really scary photo, isn't it? It puts you off camping.
It does. Actually, it didn't take much to put me off camping anyway. Edwina, thank you.
Thanks, Libby.